I'm James Jones, web content writer for BioWare, and you are listening to Torsen.
Hey, this is Brian Art, senior video editor for BioWare, and you're listening to the super awesome Tor Syndicate.
You are listening to a Star Wars The Old Republic community podcast. This is the Tor Syndicate.
Welcome to episode 43 of the Tor Syndicate Community Podcast, being recorded on January 10th, 2012. Happy New Year, everybody. And yes, I am aware that New Year's was probably a good 2 weeks or more ago by the time you're listening to this. But it's the first show we've recorded this year, so it's New Year's for us. Now, for those of you who don't already know me or my OMG, is he still talking show introductions? My name is Barislan, the guild leader of the Mantell Syndicate, the Old Republic's role-playing home to the galaxy's best scoundrels, scum, and scruffy-looking nerf herders, and I am one of many hosts here on the Tor Syndicate. Also on the show, Mr. I've Never Missed an Episode himself, leader of Guild Umbra and co-founder of the Tor Syndicate, and recent owner of a level 50 Sith who has actually earned the title Lord, it is Lord Hammer!
Hey, what's going on? Thank you so much. That was a really good intro.
Thank you.
Although, you know, I do have to break you on one thing. I think this is actually episode 44.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
I was going to say it.
But I got nothing but love for you, man. And I do want to say that now that I have my level 50, it's a totally different game, and I'm totally like a noob all over again. Because I hit 50, I went into PvP, and I just started melting all over the place. And I'm sitting there going, what the hell, man? And all of my quote-unquote newfound peers, like our other co-host, Mr. Vertek here, all have all the level 50 PvP gear. And so I just got there, and I'm the now noob. But saying that, let me go and introduce Vertek, the producer of the show. Welcome, sir. How you doing?
Phantasmal. How you guys doing? Oh, yeah, we already covered that.
Yep. Cobra!
Except for the part where I apparently can't count. So.
And I have to say Cobra because his new helmet makes him look like Cobra Commander.
And it's fantastic.
It is pretty pumped, though.
Yeah, sorry. If you're going to repeat any numbers, 42
is
all
right.
It does look like a droid.
Yeah, kind of.
Anyway, what have you been up to this week, man?
Ooh, a whole lot. A whole lot of fun stuff. Been working around with the TGN guys, Mr. AWOL. Doing actually getting ready to jump into that Project Tor video cast with him this week. Yay, with him and you.
Very cool.
Recording a bunch of videos for them. Been busy with that. Rendering.
Did you do the Boom Sucker Cast?
Yeah, we got
How's that?
Oh, that's fun. I gotta learn how to talk more while I'm playing because I found it's really difficult to actually play and have a discussion. And say anything that means a darn thing besides, yeah, and do that. Or get over here. Like, actually talking about what you're doing is a little bit trickier than it sounds.
I can't do it at all. It's a much different game as a melee player than it is as range, so he'll learn that if he ever starts playing Sith. But we also have some guests, very distinguished in the WoW community. Want to go ahead and introduce them?
Absolutely. So the first guest we have here is Stompalina from RARcast. And how are you today, ma'am?
Fantabulous. I was all excited because they got really nice intros. And I'm like, here she is. She should have been logged in.
Yeah, who's that over in the corner there, Vertek?
Well, some lady. She was walking around.
She was out at the bus stop holding up a sign. We had felt bad for her. Brought her on the show.
That's all right. We get her a blank.
We'll work for Tor.
For sure.
Oh, wait, what was your little note you had there on Skype? We'll work for mood? Was that what that said?
Yeah, whenever I hit new people up on Skype and they give me their name and I send them a message that says, me love you long time, boom boom.
Nice. Stompalina. And yeah. Who else do we have?
Stomp, I'll go ahead and let you introduce your guest here as well.
Well, I wanted to sound halfway educated on this, my first guest on an Old Republic podcast. So I brought with me the first level 50 in the guild, I guess it was last week, Siren. He's a longtime member of the guild, active listener, participated in the community for a long time. So welcome, Siren.
Good evening. How's it going, guys?
Doing very well, very well. And congratulations on making 50.
Hey, Siren, what'd you 50 with?
I initially rolled a Jedi before I realized that.
Jedi. Gosh.
Well, I first didn't realize that Baum was playing Tor, so I rolled a Jedi at first. But I quickly, you know, changed paths. I only reached 25 before I re-rolled a Sith Sorcerer. And so that was the first tune that I had to 50.
So it's like you're 75.
He's the first 75 in your guild?
Totally.
I have five of Force-using characters, so...
I'm thinking the 25 levels in Jedi should actually be counteractive. He's really level 25 now.
Oh, there you go. Like light side, dark side points, they
exactly
neutralize each other.
He's leveling backwards. So, okay. So, Stompolina, welcome to the show. Why don't you briefly tell the SW Tor community who you are and what it is you do?
Well, I've been a goblin for the last year and a half or so, playing World of Warcraft. Actually, I've been playing WoW for all the 7 years. And in that time, my husband and I actually started podcasting about 3 years ago now. And it started out as a Star Wars podcast specifically. We also play other games. We talk about other games, too. And right now, he's still playing WoW, and now I'm playing Star Wars. My WoW account actually expired last week. So it's kind of nice to have a dueling perspective, and he's a grumpy old cuss, and I'm me.
So tell us about the cast that you guys used to do, or you still do.
Yeah, we still do it. It's just kind of changed from what the description is on iTunes, I guess you could say, but it's just about me and my husband and us playing games and MMOs together. We also have a 12-year-old son, and from time to time he joins the show and reviews a game that he plays too. So it's more about us than it always necessarily is about the game, but that's what people listen for. So it's whatever happens to happen from week to week. One week we did an entire like 20-minute segment on repairing the toilet. So it's anything we talk about, really.
It's important stuff there.
It was groundbreaking. That was actually the first week we actually lost subscribers.
Wow.
Yeah, you got, so you got extra points in like home repair podcasts or something. So
yeah, there's no achievement for being
there.
There's no achievement for being covered and up to your elbow. Oh, it happened. I knew it would.
Nice. So basically,
you were covered up to your elbow. I think you were fixing the toilet wrong.
It wasn't me, luckily. It was Half-Rot that was covered. And yes, he was.
That's nice. That sounds more like, you know, something like a septic tank.
You may have lost subscribers, but you got more direct links from Home Depot.
This show is sponsored by Home Depot and Lowe's. Roto-Rooter, proud sponsor of RARcast.
They should have been. What a save some time.
So you said you were playing WoW for 7 years.
Yep.
Was that MMO able to, I mean, and that's a very successful MMO, and I think it's the sixth most successful one, and it has to be respected as such. I mean, did it keep your interest all 7 years, or did you stay playing that long just because you had such a large amount of friends and it was a social element to your life?
That is a fantastic question. That's a really tearing question. The thing about it is one of the reasons that we started the podcast is because my husband and I were 25 man raiding at the time, starting out in ICC. And it was frustrating because we were in a guild where we weren't heard, and we tried to communicate and people just weren't very receptive to us trying to do what we knew how to do best, which is, you know, step up and help. And nobody was really receptive. So one of the reasons we started the podcast is because I needed a place to vent. I was tired of being cooped up, and he was the one that was always getting the grunt of my disdain for people just being idiots sometimes. So in starting the podcast, I was able to vent, got it all out there, and then we ended up leaving that guild because it disbanded and going somewhere else. And long story short, what started out as the podcast ended up being our guild because we had enough listeners at that point where people wanted to come play with us because they knew what we were kind of building the guild upon. So long story short, to answer your question, it's the people that we played with that kept us playing for 7 years and continue to keep us playing because that guild is now carrying over into Star Wars, the Old Republic.
So
very cool.
The origin, I assume you're talking about Bound Guild, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so what was the Bound origin guild. Of that name? .com. Just because that seems okay.
The origin of Bound. Oh, well, once you get to know me, I'm kind of a sick and weird chick. And I'm into, well,
oh,
I don't want to go down
that
path. But Bound is actually branded and kind of designed around S&M. And so different ranks in the guild are different types of fetishes and things that people are into. So like we have a rank that's Marquis is the guild leader. We have Ruthless, which is a type of S&M term. Lunar, which is people that are into balloon fetishes, things like that. So there's your answer. More than you probably cared to know.
I'll tell you what. I did not see that coming. You're right.
So it's theme-based.
It is.
Well, and that's your theme.
The thing about it is I'm a marketing and advertising person. That's kind of why I've built a brand around the podcast, and I also wanted to build a brand around the guild because it's a 21 and over guild. We're very out there, loud, rude, everything that we are on the show, but there's, you know, 60 of us all at one time. So it's a good fit because it's my personality and those are the same type of listeners that we have.
And that's kind of cool because you know, you built a community with like-minded people to share the experiences that you wanted to have. And obviously you're not alone. There are other people, regardless of how many or how few there are, but there are people who are like you who share the same interests, the same likes, the same dislikes, and have the same things in common. And so you created a forum and a place for them to unite. And that's awesome because I can only imagine that, you know, the satisfaction you get after an evening of hanging with like-minded people, as opposed to just the frustration like you just, you know, described of dealing with noobs or just idiots and, you know, in your term, right?
Right, exactly. One of the things that we definitely built the guild upon is the fact that we have to communicate with one another. It's, if you go out and read our like mission statement and our charter and everything, it's based upon a community of constant development. The only way that any teams ever succeed, especially in 25-man raiding or whatever it is that we're going to end up doing in the Old Republic, it's all built upon being able to communicate with one another. And the best way to do that is to just not get butt hurt when somebody says, hey, look, man, we got to work on your DPS, because that's the kind of stuff that wasn't happening in those other guilds that frustrated us so much. So we took the years of experience we had in other guilds and all the stuff that didn't happen that I wanted to happen. And we set forth the guild, you know, with all that experience behind us.
You know, what's also great with how you have it set up is that's the ultimate zip it button right there. It's pre-built in. Like, you can just tell somebody, okay, so you joined through the website, but did you even listen
exactly
to the podcast at all? Like, do you have no idea what we're about?
That's exactly right. I spent months building that site. And if you go out there, it's laid out really plain and simple about, you know, what we're all about and what to expect from us and what we expect from them. So I enjoy doing it. And the great thing is that I don't feel right now like I have to log into WoW. I mean, my subscription actually just expired. Which I'm okay with, because I feel like I've got a great management team and half over there running stuff. I'm ready to pick up the ball and bring some Star Wars into it.
Awesome. So on that note, you guys, I assume, then have a Bound SWTOR guild as well, then?
Correct.
What's the URL for that guild?
Or is it's it all the same? Boundguild.com.
Okay. All right. And out of curiosity, I was wondering what the scuttlebutt about the Old Republic might be in the other MMO communities, because I know you guys, from what I've read of your podcast, you know, cover things other than just WoW. You've got other games and stuff that you talk about and that sort of thing. So I'm kind of curious how fans of other games have been talking about Tor or what they've been saying. And obviously there's some folks that have made a move, and that's where their focus is right now, even though they might still have a love for WoW in the background. Their focus now is on the Old Republic. So just kind of curious what you're hearing in the community.
Over to Siren. Siren, do you have an opinion on what people's perspective is?
I've been browsing our guild's website as well as the SpokeTor website, and from our guild's standpoint, it really seems like a lot of people are comparing Tor to their previous experiences with MMOs, especially World of Warcraft, since it is one of the most popular ones out there. A lot of people, you know, notice certain flaws in the game, which, you know, just was released. It's, you know, it's to be expected that it's not going to be 100%. And there's actually no discussion on who's going to continue after the first month of subscription, you know, once we actually have to start paying month by month. And a lot of people are bringing up things such as the ability delay in the game and stuff like that that has been mentioned on the Tor forums that they're addressing with a future patch and whatnot, you know, it's just not in the game yet. And it's especially a factor in PvP for certain people that are extremely PvP heavy. And even on the Tor forums, it's the same way. There's a lot of people that are, you know, doing side-by-side comparisons with WoW and, you know, not really given, in my opinion, BioWare the credit that they should, the fact that, you know, Warcraft's been out for years. You know, they've had plenty of time and plenty of developers and plenty of people to work on it to be able to, you know, redefine it as years go by and other MMOs come out with different things to bring to the games. So I think that, in my personal opinion, the BioWare is doing a really good job, and they're definitely spending a lot of time, you know, trying to get everything up to speed to get everyone as happy as can be. But it really seems like a lot of people are comparing it to WoW right now. So,
and that's not surprising. Like, you know, Hammer said at the beginning of the podcast, I mean, WoW is the benchmark by which MMOs are measured pretty much now, because it has had a very successful run and is still having a successful run. So, I mean, that's not surprising at all. Go ahead, Stomp.
Well, I was going to think, I think that everybody can pretty much agree with the fact that the Old Republic today would not be what it is today if it hadn't been for the last 7 years of WoW. I mean, to log in and feel like intuitively that it already feels right, that's because WoW was like my starter game, and now I'm ready for a grown-up game. It's just different,
wow.
You know?
Wow. No pun intended.
Well, I will also say this much in comparison, that there have been a lot of occasions where I go to do something and it's not there. And I'm like, okay, patches, come faster. Like the guild bank and, you know, all these different windows popping up. Yeah, it just, some of it isn't right yet, but it's going to be there. I tell you what, in comparison to where WoW was at launch and months after launch, BioWare has definitely made far progress from where Blizzard was.
And that's the comparison a lot of people forget. And you know, Siren kind of hinted at that in what he was just saying, is, you know, WoW has been fine-tuning for, you know, good on a decade almost. And we've got... Now, by the same token, you should be able to learn from the mistakes of MMOs that came before you. And
absolutely.
Hopefully incorporate those up front. And I know that's some of the things that Hammer has shared on other shows. It's a frustration that some of the things that are missing right now, we feel like, you know, wow, we're in 2012 and we've had, you know, a decade of MMOs already, and there's a lot of things that we feel like should have been learned but haven't been implemented yet. And yes, BioWare is getting to them ASAP, but we were a little surprised we didn't
see
them.
They were busy voicing over all of this stuff.
That's true. They're like in the World Book of Records now. Did you guys see that in the developer's post? They made the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, and it's been completely helpful because I turned it down all the way where I can't hear it.
They did all that work and you turned it down?
It was awesome for like the first 3 days. And then I'm spacebar.
You're one of those people.
Well, one of the bad things about having the, you know, all the quest dialogue being voiced is the fact that it's difficult to be able to have conversation with guild members in event.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things
that
we really, you know, like to do, because I was with Bound back in Warcraft, and that was one of the things that I really liked about the guild was the fact that there's a lot of people on event talking and whatnot, you know, getting to learn other people and talk to them and everything. And it's really difficult to do in Tor. It's easier once you hit max level and you're not worrying about the quest dialogue so much, and you know, you're doing PvPs, you're doing hard modes or whatever. But as you're leveling, you really don't want to sit and vent and, you know, have the conflict between the two. So
yeah,
so you could just turn it down.
We use TeamSpeak in Guild Umber. We like it a little bit better, but it has this function, and I'm sure Vent has it. I just don't know what it is. To just click a button where you can mute it so you can hear the game, but you don't have to hear people in Vent or TeamSpeak. And I stay on that thing because I'm sitting there listening to every single speech. You know, I got to hear the whole entire thing. I got to get every second of story out of this. But kind of like when I was like in the last two levels before I hit 50, I was kind of like, all right, come on, let's go.
Getting the end.
It's bad enough I have to run everywhere. Come on, I got time. Let's go. I got things to do.
Oh, so well, you got speeder action by now, surely.
Yeah, but still.
So why Tor?
I'm not on a mount.
So why Tor? As opposed to anything else, what was so compelling about SW Tor? I mean, other than, you know, Star Wars is obviously a very well-known IP.
Well, a lot of it had to do with the fact that so many former WoW members of Bound are going to Star Wars. So why not make them home for them? Because over the years, we've had people that have come and gone and people that are interested in other games. Hell, we have a Steam community with guild members that are logging in and out. So I just wanted to make sure to keep that sense of community. And if it's a new MMO and it's something that's going to be easy to pick up, why not go play with my friends? I can't tell you how, like, oh, wow, I got over emotional in my first Battlegrounds in the Old Republic because I was playing with guys that I was in ICC with. And I'm a healer. I'm playing Operative right now. And I was healing the guy that was my main tank in ICC, and I haven't seen him, or I knew how he moved. I knew whenever he went out of line of sight what I needed to say, how I needed to say. It was just so intuitive that it's like family all over again.
Uh-oh, I heard like a little tear falling.
Shut up.
I heard it. I love you, man.
Pitting.
but that's so, I mean, that's so the case. I mean, and not to steal any thunder, but it's for those exact same reasons was the whole reason why I started, you know, Guild Umber. It was, you know, I had a bunch, I played Age of Conan 2 years longer than I should have. Because that game sucked, right?
Yeah.
There were some things that were really good about it, you know, that were enjoyable, called the first 20 levels. But I mean, other than that, I mean, it was just the camaraderie of the guild.
Everything was brown.
Yes, they were very brown.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, I mean, there were just a couple of friendships that I made in that game that, you know, I've stayed friends with them to this day. And it was those folks that I stayed playing that stupid game. And when I founded my guild, you know, I came up just like word for word, like you said, I had a charter, I had a mission statement, you know, standards, very well published policies, mm-hmm. so that we didn't have, or we could minimize the guild drama, right? Because I wanted to be around people that were kind of like myself, just so that I had things to talk to them about and I could have interaction as opposed to just people that are just completely different. And it's not that I'm xenophobic or I have anything against anybody that's different, but I would like, you know, sometime during the 4 hours I game a night or whatever to have some interaction that's familiar. So, you know, that's awesome. I think that's so the way to do things as opposed to I see now when I log in, you know, in general chat, hi, X guild is forming. We're looking for raiders. We're going to be doing in-game content. I'm like,
well,
I don't
knock it. We all had. Well, I was at that point at one time until, you know, I've been really lucky with doing the podcast to have this community of guys that I'm able to play with. But yeah,
not to say that those can't be successful, but you built your foundation with brick and mortar as opposed to building a house with tuna fish sandwiches. I mean, you could build a house with tuna fish sandwiches, but I wouldn't want to go to the second floor of that thing.
Okay, that's the first time I think I've ever heard tuna fish sandwiches used as an analogy for guild strength. So
I didn't have a response for that.
Yeah,
so I was trying to think of one myself.
Oh, God.
But no, see, I know what you're saying there. Like, actually building the guild ideals first and then forming it around that versus the ones that are literally their sole purpose in life is to advertise in, like, trade chat or general chat to try to get members, and that's the only way they pull people in.
Yeah, I love those guilds when I log in, and, like, 5 minutes after I log in, somebody says, hey, you want to join my guild? Dude, I have no idea who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that how you're recruiting?
We run the guild a lot like a business. I did set it up like a business. There's a business plan every month that we have guild meetings. We talk about goals and strategy and things that we need to work on. I mean, the thing is that I'm a planner. I'm an organizer. I'm a strategist. And that's what I lend to all of our members' experience, is the fact that I am the spirit. I'll ring lead. I'll get everybody together. Go, get them. I'm back here. Y'all take care of that.
Nice. So Mark, if I could just, or Siren, if I could just jump on you real quick. What is it that attracted you to the Bound Guild and has kept you there for so long?
Actually, when I stumbled across Stomp and Half and the Bound Guild was through the podcast. I was right smack dab in the middle of my WoW addiction, and I was looking for podcasts to listen to on the way to work. It was a fad that I was going through at the time that I wanted to listen to podcasts to and from work, because I had about a 30 to 45 minute commute. And so I stumbled across their podcast, and I was listening to it. And I've listened to other WoW podcasts before, like WoW Insider and stuff. But what really drew me to their podcast was the fact that they were very real. They had good information, but it was still, you know, they still were having a lot of fun. There's a lot of humor in the podcast, and it set itself apart. And so I was drawn in by that. And right around the same time, the guild that I was with wasn't really doing so well. And they eventually mentioned the fact that they were looking for new raiders. And so I jumped right on the chance and threw in an application to talk to them for a while and had a chance to raid with them a little bit. So I really think that the podcast was the main reason why I was drawn into the guild. And then since then, just, you know, the community is what's, you know, wanted me to stay with Bound. Because if there's one thing that I learned in Warcraft when raiding, is the fact that you can't just focus on the game. You can't just focus on the gear. You know, if you're a gear hound and that's all you're doing is raiding to get gear, and there's no interaction, there's no community, there's no people, you know, it feels really empty. And when you're gaming, even if you're not even reaching your goals of trying to, you know, down the last boss or finish these heroics or whatever, as long as you're playing with your friends and having fun, that's all that really matters. And when you actually have real connections with people in your guild, you know, even if you get a chance to meet them in person and stuff, you know, that means so much more than anything the game can provide, in my opinion. You know, it's the community. So
I could just tear it up a little.
It's so funny. I couldn't agree more, because it's so transparent when you find the gear whore or the loot whore, whatever they call it. And I actually wrote it in as one of our policies is no player hating.
Yep.
You know, be happy for, you know, fellow members that are good at the game and win loot and have a great time. You know, there are those people who I have actually seen, like officers in my old guild, in Age of Conan, that would not invite certain people that had certain classes because they didn't want to run the risk of that person bidding on loot that they could use, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's effed up. And that, and like, you know, you could probably get away with it, I guess, here and there, but that becomes transparent very quickly. So that's awesome. You know, doing it for the social, the social community building, because those are the times that will carry you through when the game starts to suck, you know. And there's always that time when, and sucks probably not the right word, but when, you know, the game becomes played or dated, you know, or you've done every single thing that you can do, and for whatever reason, you just are either impatient or they just haven't come out with that next patch with new content, you know?
I know what you mean. Yep. So Siren's already been running me through flashpoints, so I get what you mean.
Yeah. He's like, oh, nothing else to do.
But isn't it fun, Siren, to run me through flashpoints?
I thought it was really interesting where I only had it to be like 10 levels above where I was helping people out, and I was already, you know, resisting everything and just blasting everything into smithereens. So it's like kind of fun.
There's a certain satisfaction in that. Come on. I mean.
Oh, yeah. When you're able to just go up and just throw out a force storm and just level everything, you really feel like the dark evil Sith that you're playing.
Yeah, he just kind of turn around with people behind and say, just stay here, I got this. Just walk up and unleash. No,
I was pretending
power.
To heal him.
So what are some of the things that you're hoping as a guild or as a podcast, and this is probably a very open-ended question, What are some of the things you're hoping to do or experience or expand now that you are kind of focusing on tour and your husband's still in WoW? I mean, do you see it staying a podcast that talks about these two MMOs, or do you see it shifting or slanting and becoming more tour-centric? Where do you see it going?
Well, the podcast is more about us than it is about any one game,
right?
Because these aren't the only two games we play. We talk about other games too, and we have contributors on the podcast that do segments that talk about retro games and free games and stuff like that. So as far as what I see getting out of Tormo, is what I call it, by the way. Tormo, it's gonna catch on. I know it will.
What is Tormo?
The Old Republic MMO. It's a lot easier to say than Swotor. Anyways, what...
You have to put an O in there. It's Swotor.
The woe and Swotor.
It still sounds like I'm drooling on myself. That's not okay.
I just say Tor. Yeah. I just say Tor, the Old Republic. But okay. Whatever. That's cool. Tormo.
So,
I'm good with it.
I don't know. Tormo
it's going to catch on. I'm telling you.
Total Tormo, man.
So what I want, or what we probably want to get out of Tormo is just building upon the community, like-minded folks. One of the things I've had the luxury of being able to do through doing the podcast is I host a meetup every month. I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And through doing the meetup, we meet people that are here locally that, you know, if they have an interest in what our guild is doing, then 9 times out of 10, they join the guild. And there's nothing like being able to sit down over drinks and talk to somebody about, you know, what's going on in the guild, things they need to work on, things that they can contribute with, things like that. And we actually just started a DFW Swotor meetup group, too. So I'll give you a link to that whenever we leave, along with all the other stuff that I do. But what I was going to say is the benefit of doing that is being able to build that community of people through the meetup groups, through the podcasts, and everybody has a role and something that they can bring to projects that we're working on, you know, stuff that's happening in game. It's just all about building that community around, you know, your personality and people that get along together.
So your next meeting will have to be at Whataburger since you're in Texas. Don't mess with Texas.
Whataburger?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of mustard. I'm sorry.
I love
We just got In-N-Out here. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I saw it when I was there in Austin. Barislan and I were down in Austin for the last BioWare Fan Summit.
And
when
we heard that before we left, we went to Whataburger.
Yeah, Whataburger's pretty cool. But no, yeah. I'm not a fan of mustard, so not my favorite.
Anywho, so is there anything that you have coming up that you want the folks to know about?
Thanks for asking. Well, actually, we've been doing the podcast now for over 3 years. And in that time, we actually got our very first equipment from a listener donation. We've been just barely getting by. And here, 3 years later, we're actually about to upgrade to video. And this is a huge step because I've lost weight and it's actually going to work. So we're actually raising money. And if you visit roarcast.com, you can check out all of the previous videos that we've put together. And we're trying to get it to where Half and I are on the same screen right next to each other. I know it sounds like a small thing, but it takes software and all kinds of other stuff. So I would encourage anybody to go check out the website. And we actually just made Roarcast into a channel. So it's not just the Roarcast show. Now we have other podcasts. So one of the other ones that's just been added is Geek Culture Happy Hour, and it's Gildies, Andy Pants, and Fondre, and they talk about pop culture stuff. There's actually a theme every week. It's pretty cool because they come up with different types of mediums that all have to do with a theme. It's pretty neat. And then the new one that's starting later this month is me and my female best friend, She Geek Girl, and it's going to be called the Hot Taco Lounge. Yes, that's right. Hot Taco Lounge.
All right.
Nice. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Just saying. But that's about it. Website upgrades, things like that, ongoing, as you guys, I'm sure, know.
Now, when you're talking about like going to video, are you talking about having like a live stream or a video podcast that you then post edit?
No, it's actually going to be a video podcast. We record live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Central at roarcast.com/live. And during the live show right now, we've got it to where I'm on one feed and then Half's on Tiny Chat. Well, we need some software that puts the two of us right together. So that's what we're working on. And then once we get past that hurdle,
you can use XSplit. You could use XSplit for free.
I'm on Mac.
Oh, they don't have XSplit?
No, I've tried everything. Trust me.
All right, sorry. I'll shut up.
So, and once we get the video up and running, then we're going to start a new RSS feed for video, and we'll do video and audio at the same time.
Nice.
Two different feeds. That's who just cool. sneezed?
Not it.
Not me. No, that's very cool. Wow. So that's a lot of effort. So not only is it one of those things that you're going to need financial support for, or backing or assistance, but it also takes a lot of technical acumen, you know, to be able to pull all that off. So why don't you tell us, if you happen to have the URL, or a place that people who might be listening who might want to donate or support might be able to do so?
Yeah, it's right there on the front page of our website, roarcast.com, and there's a donate button right there. I've actually kind
down
of line-itemed.
Right. Down Sorry? At the bottom right. No, I'm looking at it right now, so I'm just saying for the listeners.
Oh, it's down at the bottom right. The donate button is to the top right, yeah. But what was I going to say? Totally just distracted me. Oh, on the donate page, it actually kind of line items the features of us going video and what I'm planning to spend the money on. And the great thing is that we're raising $700. We're already over halfway there. So the great thing is, in all the 3 years that we've been doing the podcast, I've never asked for any money. So it's like, okay, guys, I'm serious.
You're like, all right. Break yourself, fool.
Yeah, and they're coming through. And you know, it's been amazing. So we have great listeners, great supporters. Probably the hardest part about all that is, in the middle of raising this money, I lost my one last sponsor. So hopefully by the time that we upgrade to video, we'll be able to round out a new sponsor with a new feed. So
have you guys looked at was it Doghouse Systems? They're pretty good.
Yep, they're actually here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, too. I know them personally. We are not their demographic. But they're nice guys, and they do a great job with the podcast that they do sponsor. So,
yeah, they support what Scott Jatson in The Instance, the Old Republic edition.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scott's a good guy. I actually just met him for the first time at this last BlizzCon, and I was amazed that he knew who the hell I was, but he did.
Everyone knows us, Topolina. No, actually, I met him at PAX East last year. Yeah. And they're actually sponsors indirectly, I guess, at the Tor Syndicate of this podcast. So,
yep.
So, anywho. Well, very cool. Why don't we go ahead and take a few minutes to pay the bills. We'll hear from our sponsors at Guild Launch. We'll also get another exhilarating episode of BTG Beyond the Grind. And we'll listen to a little bit of Mandalorian Girl. The story is really starting to get good. The plot is thickening. And I wonder who lives.
This podcast has been brought to you by Guild Launch at guildlaunch.com. Guild Launch is the premier guild host management system. They have over 2 million registered users. They support over 180 different games and have over 100,000 different guilds, clans, and corporations. For all of your guild hosting management needs, to include PvP management, raiding, DKP systems, chat, and everything, please check out guildlaunch.com.
The Exploits of Mandalorian Girl, written and narrated by Nasha Tali. Chapter 2, Kashyyyk, Part 10. The next few days passed by in a blur. My head was reeling with all that had transpired concerning Senka and Vel. I felt so betrayed and confused. I'd blamed everything on Vel, and though he had played along, ultimately, Senka had been the mastermind. I sighed and rubbed a hand across my face, wishing I knew where I'd gone wrong with her. I'd found her, rescued her, and raised her as if she were my own. True, I didn't have much to offer her, but I gave her all I had and would have done anything for her. From behind me, I heard Aiden enter our quarters. Everything's in order. The funeral will begin whenever you're ready. I turned toward him, tears threatening to spill over. Give me a minute. Aiden walked over to where I stood and lovingly placed a hand on either side of my face. I closed my eyes and felt a tear trickle down my cheek, only to be wiped away by his strong yet tender fingers. None of this is your fault, love. I took a deep breath. I know that. I just can't help but wonder if I had paid more attention to things, could the outcome have been different? Aiden kissed me lightly on the forehead. Look at me. I opened my eyes and stared into the deep blue of his. You cannot control other people's actions. You can only direct your own. You can guide and nurture people, teach them the ways of the world, but you cannot force them to do your will. Ultimately, the decision is their own. It does not mean that you have failed. He gently placed his hand underneath my chin and raised my face, smiling at me. I know you're hurt, little one, but it will pass and you will be stronger for it. At that moment, I wanted nothing more than to wrap myself within his embrace and let the world fade away in the safety of his arms, but I couldn't. I had a funeral to attend. I let him lead me out of our quarters and into the Kashyyyk evening air. The Wookiees had graciously allowed us to have a small ceremony for Vel. I'm not sure that my new Wookiee companion Shorecook understood why I wanted to have a ceremony for the man who had tried to kill me. He had betrayed me and helped Senka in her treachery, but in the previous time that I'd known him, he had been a good companion and friend. I needed to do this. Aiden, Shorecook, Solova, Lakat, and I were the only ones at the site. Vel's body lay on a pyre, looking peaceful in his armor, almost as if he were only napping. I stepped close to his body, the others slightly behind me, giving me a small bit of privacy. I whispered to Vel's still body, I know that something had to have happened. Something made you follow her. I'll find out what it is if it takes me a lifetime. I loved you like a brother, and because of that love, I forgive you. Rest well, Vod. Aiden stepped up to me and handed me a torch, the flame's heat warming my cheeks as I grasped it tightly. I lit the pyre with the torch's flame, and together, Aiden and I moved back to stand with the others. The flames crackled and spit as they engulfed the Mandalorian warrior's corpse. It was a beautiful evening, and the sounds and sights of the treetop city made an awesome backdrop and a fitting tribute to my fallen comrade. I didn't much feel like eating a meal that evening, so I returned to my quarters and let Aiden go ahead without me. I was in a strange mood, and I just wanted to be somewhere away from the crowds of people, somewhere private. I retreated to a nice warm shower and then stretched my weary body out on the bed. Aiden walked in just as I pulled the covers up around my naked body. Aiden, I thought you were having dinner. He smiled and I noticed his arms laden with packages. I decided that I didn't fancy eating without you, so I got us something to eat here. Aiden walked over to the bed and began to open up containers of delicious-smelling foods, and I realized that maybe it wouldn't hurt to eat a little something. I sat up, tucking my covers around me, and smiled at him as he sat down on the bed beside me. That night, my dreams were disturbing. Something dark, something dangerous, jumped out at me from the corners of my mind. I awoke in the wee morning hours with a scream, sweating and panting. Aiden was there to soothe me. I couldn't remember what I had dreamed. He held me close until I had calmed enough to sleep once more. He pulled me tighter, whispering words of comfort. I knew I was safe in his arms. The rest of my sleep was warm and peaceful, dreamless. For more information, visit my website at www.mandaloriangirl.com.
Transmission frequency secured. Beyond the Grind, episode 23, Red Bull Plushies, beginning in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 23 of Beyond the Grind, your podcast and resource for role-playing in the Old Republic, recorded on Monday, January 16th, 2012. I am your host, Barslan of the Mantell Syndicate, the Old Republic's role-playing home to the galaxy's best scoundrel, scum, and scruffy-looking nerf herders, and sharing in the hosting duties with me once again tonight is the Rajah of Roleplay, the Duke of Drama, the Sultan of SWTOR, all the way from Gamebreaker TV, The Republic, and Masterly.com's Hyperspace Beacon. It's Larry Shadow Everett.
How's it going? Wow, I didn't know I had so many titles. It's
Well, when you have that many, I guess it's hard to keep track of them all.
It is. And I will be expecting my paycheck. Thank you.
Oh, and don't forget he's humble too, folks.
All right. Totally humble. I am the most humble.
Achievement unlocked. Humble master.
Yeah, that worked. Not really. Yes. Never mind.
You get an achievement there for being humble. So, all right, so here we are, episode 23, which is really episode 23, not to be confused with episode 22, episode 23.
Call Wazy!
We are so going to confuse people.
I know, isn't that awful?
I can see the emails
if you're confused,
now.
You have to go back and listen to episode 22.
Yeah.
Especially since we have, you know, a lot of people not listening to that episode for some reason, which I don't know why. It was an awesome episode.
It was. They need to go back and listen to it right now. So if you're listening to this podcast, pause it. Go back.
Yes.
Listen to
episode
20.
There would be spoilers otherwise.
I know, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to that one, and then come back to listen to this one.
Yeah, okay. So we'll just wait. No, we shouldn't do that because it's like...
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes long or something.
Okay. So, we'll move on. So, news in SWTOR. We did get our first kind of official patch, the 1.1, the first big patch SWTOR. So, a lot of stuff in there that they just released. A lot of it was, honestly, just kind of character tweaking and probably kind of PvP tweaking, that sort of thing. But... did get some new content and some other new things that would be interesting to those who like story in SWTOR. So something that it certainly is famous for and has done well at.
Yeah, especially if you're going to like integrate the SWTOR story with your story, like you know, moving the whatever.
Correct.
If you're going to integrate that story with your story. There's some, good stuff that's coming out of this next patch.
Absolutely. We had some bug fixes in certain operations and flashpoints that simply will make them more feasible now, but also some additional story information, characters, bosses, etc., that will make them a little more interesting, as well as give it a little more replayability for those who've already been through it. So now you can look for the twists and the extra stuff that's there. Anything that stood out to you, Larry, in this last update?
The flashpoint is the biggest thing for me. I think that's really, really interesting. If you read my interview with Gabe Amatangelo, the PvP, the flashpoint, the operations lead designer. He has like the longest title in all of BioWare.
almost as many titles as you.
Yeah, almost. Except he doesn't have that whole Sultan title that I have. He he says that this operation actually the operation and the Flashpoint, but specifically the Flashpoint, is like a continuation of the overarching SWTOR story, and I think that that's really incredible, and it also it pulls in some like odd, I won't say oddball, but you know, just like some pieces of lore that maybe people weren't aware of, or because I certainly hadn't really heard of the Tyan hegemony. That's actually in lore. That's actually a part of lore, and the Tyan hegemony is the governing body, I guess, of the Tyan cluster, and they have kind of they're a power. They're a galactic power, kind of like the Hutts are a galactic power, and they've ran into trouble with Rat Ghouls. I'm not gonna get not gonna spoil anything for you, other than to say they ran into trouble with Rat Ghouls, and
yeah, because last time you were tossing out spoilers, left,
I know,
right? I almost had to like mute you and drop you off the podcast.
But at any rate, they have trouble with Rat Ghouls, and it's a continuation of the overarching story, which I'm also not going to reveal. But
Rat Ghouls are involved.
But Rat Ghouls are involved, and it's
who doesn't love Rat Ghouls?
Yeah, it's
Rat Ghoul plushies. There's
they're so cuddly.
There's a business right there.
That's right. I'm starting one right now. That's what I'm starting. Rat Ghoul plushies.
Yep. Like Beanie Babies with Rat Ghouls.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah. That would be, they have like four eyes and big, huge monsters. Teeth.
Aww.
It's so cute.
He's so fluffy, I'm going to die. It's so fluffy.
So cute.
All right, so Rat Ghoul Beanie Babies. We like that. We're inventing things that happened in the...
Yes.
Although, on that topic, I did have one of my... guildmates point out to me that you can get a baby Tauntaun in the game as a pet, which has nothing to do with the patch, but just on the topic of things that are small and cute.
Wow, really honestly did not know that you can get that as a pet. Now I'm going to have to go look for it.
Yep, it's out there. I'm not sure exactly the details, but I wouldn't tell you even if I knew, because that would be a spoiler.
Yeah, I'm guessing that you get it from the social vendor on Hoth.
Shh! What's wrong with you, man?
I don't know. I'm. It's just a guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a guess. So
I can neither confirm
anything.
Nor deny that Larry is correct or incorrect about his guess.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. What is your thing? What is your favorite thing coming from?
You know what?
What?
Two things I had that actually had very little to do with... No, one had a lot to do with role-playing. The other was just something that had been irking me since the game launched. One was this whole thing about, and you noticed it most probably if you were a guild leader or a guild officer and you're in that screen a lot, but the guild screen, whenever you open it up, would not, you know, it might say, you have 17 guild members online, and you open the guild screen, it'd show you 3, or it'd show you 6, or 9, or 8, or 2, or whatever. And it was never accurate, and you had to reset the whole UI to get it to show you an accurate listing of guilds and or friends, or guild members and or friends on the server. So... they say they fixed that, although I'm still having problems with it from time to time.
Yeah, see, the whole... Yeah, that whole social aspect of it honestly needs to be fixed. Just really, really needs to be fixed.
One of the other things they fixed was a glitch that had to do with sending text-only messages through their mail system from player to player that frequently would get eaten by the system.
Cool.
No, very uncool. Especially when you're like using them for role-playing.
Yeah, I know. It's not cool.
And sending them in character.
Okay,
and
that makes sense.
You spent like 15 minutes putting it together, and you had to like then go back and edit it because it has a character limit of like 400 characters,
right,
which is ridiculous
because
you get letters from NPCs that are twice that long. So anyhow, you have to basically do like your Twitter version of the, the message you want to send, or send it like in 3 parts. And I had so many of those eaten by the system, and got so mad. But it seems that one actually seems to be fixed now.
So is that why credit farmers used to send you a credit?
I don't know.
That must be why.
If it was text only, the system could just nom 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 and munch it down.
Which, by the way, I haven't got one of those forever. I've not got a credit farmer email for a long.
I've gotten one since I played the game, and that's it.
See, I used to, I got quite a few of them.
Well, yeah, but you're the Sultan of Swartor, so I guess.
They like me, and they're like, "Gosh, he's got to have money."
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you know everybody's just giving you, you know, tithe money.
That's right.
Homage to the Sultan of Swartor.
But yeah, so I haven't gotten since they did all of those bans, you know, the quote unquote Ilum bans, but they weren't really Ilum bans. Since then, I haven't got any. I have not got an email.
Okay, so that may have helped.
Yeah,
good thing. Well, that brings us to the end of our light episode. If you guys want to hear more topics from the show, as well as get outtakes, please subscribe to us on iTunes or come download our full version of each show at our brand new domain name, beyondthegrind.org, not .com, .org. At this point, I normally ask you, Larry, for any closing remarks, but I think you've said plenty.
Yeah.
So I'm cutting you off. I'm cutting you off now. You're done. So that's all that's left to be said at this point, guys, is go out, log into the game, have fun, and may all your stories be your own personal brand of epic. Night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Termination protocol established. Beyond the Grind signal dark in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, folks. Welcome back. So, this week in the news, what were you saying before, Barislan? Something about there's been an announcement about Gilbanks and such?
No, you were supposed to talk about something else while I looked that up so I could actually quote it accurately. So,
all right, so what about the big patch, Vertec, that's on the public server? I mean, we'll just talk about it briefly since I know that ToroCast and Darth Hater and a bunch of other great podcasts will really go into it in painstaking detail.
The
news sites.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the few that really I haven't read anything about that patch as of yet. I've been running around doing everything else at this point, waiting until something becomes official.
Okay, so I'll talk about it briefly. I'm not even going to try to name which patch number it is because I don't know and I don't care. But it is on the public server right now, and hopefully it'll come out for us on the real servers. And long story short is it's going to do a bunch of bug fixes. It's going to do some different things, obviously, for different classes. But I think the most important things that people want to hear about is it's going to fix some of the game breakers. More specifically, for PvPers, it's going to put level 50s in their own bracket. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that's been a big issue. Because this game seems to have a lot more PvP than most others, just because the PvP is a lot more fun, I think, in the way they've done things. I'm not going to say it's perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I definitely think it's more accessible. But one thing that has been ruining it over the past week, now that most of our large amount of people are making 50 and getting gear, is the fact that not only can you be level 50, but now you can get tiers of gear. You can get PvP gear, and the PvP gear gets 3 different tiers of uberness, whereas if you're like level 30 or level 40, you only get really one kind of bump at level 40, but anything in between there is just kind of bent, right? And so the 50s are just poning everything, so they're going to try to put all the 50s in their own bracket for when they queue for PvP. That way, you don't have like 2 people taking on 8 and then just winning all the time. What say you?
Yeah, that part I've heard of, and that part, to be honest, I'm fully happy with. Back during the early beginning parts of Live and during beta and all that, when people had mentioned, you know, 50s in battle with everybody else, there wasn't an issue with it as much because there weren't that many 50s, and those that were 50 didn't have the great gear. Well, now it's starting to get to the point where there is, and it's starting to get really, really noticeable when someone can melt you down from full to nothing super quick, 10 times faster than anybody else can. You know that they're jacked up on gear.
Jacked up on gear, augments, and then all kinds of other stems and who knows what else. Siren, have you seen any of the stuff that we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. I could definitely, you know, notice a difference. Not only do 50s have the leg up in regards to gear, but they also have more talents and abilities unlocked than the lower levels. So when you go into the war zones and everything, even before, you know, gear was an issue, they were still having the ability to, you know, outperform those of lower level, and there's not really much of twink gear so much that I've seen so far to really give the lower levels a leg up in PvP. One of the things that I saw on the patch notes for 1.1 that I'm really looking forward to is the fact that they're revamping Ilum. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to do any of the daily or weekly quests in Ilum.
My very first weekly today, actually.
It's pretty silly. I don't know how it is on the other servers, but on ours, basically the Republic and the Empire just show up and just flop the objectives back and forth. There's no killing. There's no nothing. Everyone's just focused on just getting the daily and the weeklies completed so they can be able to get their PvP gear.
And that's exactly what we did. We stood outside of the Republic base, and we blew up their turrets, and then we just sat there while like one Republic guy came out. It was like 20 of us. We just sat there, and no one killed him. And he like just drove by us. You know, I'm sure he was a little nervous. Repaired it and drove by us again and repaired the other one and went into the base. We blew him up, and then he came out and he did it like 15 times until we checked the block out or daily, and we like, you know, went back to the spaceship. So yeah, it's definitely a problem. I mean, and I read it earlier, but I mean, I didn't really read it too thoroughly. I mean, did they say anything specific as to what they're thinking of doing to try to?
Well, they're going to be changing the objectives, so now you're required to actually defeat enemy players. In addition to flipping the objectives in the middle of it. And they're also making it so that they're changing the way that you get Valor and bonus Valor while in Ilum to give people more of an incentive to actually do the PvP aspect. So that's how they're approaching it in the 1.1 patch.
Yeah, but that change alone right there isn't really going to solve it, because now people are going to be trading objectives and kills. And that's all it really is. It's adding an extra step to the trading. The only problem right now really is population. There's not enough population at 50 who are trying to go to Ilum to do that at any given point. Because I know today I had two completely different experiences. One of them where there was one Republic, so we had to do exactly like Hammer was saying, but then he disappeared. But later on I went back because I had to jump in and help somebody with a quest, but I came back and there was Republic everywhere, and it was a slaughterhouse. There was no objectives being done. It was all killing, and that was it. We couldn't do an objective because they were beating us.
Yeah, and the thing is it's not really knowing the standard is always the problem, because you know, it's an open PvP zone, right? Which is essentially like being on a PvP server at that point. But the thing is when they add these different game mechanics, you never really know what the deal is, like, because there's no way to communicate with that, and rightfully so, that Republic guy. But you know, pretty much, they kind of figured it out when he started repairing it and letting them blow it up, right? You know, but then again, it just changes on a dime depending on who goes in there, and it becomes a gank fest. You know, hopefully it's a step in the right direction. But to your point, it's not necessarily going to fix it. You're going to have people who are going to figure out how to circumvent the system no matter what happens, right?
That's part of the game. Yep.
Yeah, you know, so I don't know. Like I said, I just turned 50 on Sunday, and I'm it's like starting the game all over, because when I hit 50, my first thing I did was I went and PvP'd. You know, I got my bags, and I got like a new lightsaber, so I got lucky. And I went and PvP'd, and all I did was just get melted like for 2 days straight, just melt. Because now I'm going up against all these people who are 50 with gear, so I'm actually worse at PvP now at 50 than I was at 40 when I got my brand new PvP gear, if that makes any kind of sense.
You know what, though? I thought that I actually just had, which was kind of funny because it's been around for years now, but is making it more of a timed objective thing. Like, you can only complete the objectives during certain times. That way it would kind of get people to all show up at the same times to do it.
Yeah, the problem with that is if people who live in different time zones have to work, you know.
Well, no, I mean, like, if it's every 2 hours or every hour or something like that, I just mean, like, rather than having it available 24/7, any moment you can go and do it, it's only during, like, a time block, like 30 minutes worth of time every 2 hours or something.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, to your point, too, I think this is the reason why you always see the really elite players race to end game and race to max out PvP or raid. Yep. Because they know that things are going to get nerfed. They know that things are imbalanced. And if they were lucky enough to get in beta, they know which classes are OP. They know which, you know, crafting skills are going to get the most money. So they race, they get to max level, they get all the PvP gear. And I know people now who are doing it, waiting, you know, trying to beat the this patch, 1.1 patch, for Ilum now. I know people are trying to do it so they can get all their Battlemaster gear so that when everything does basically become harder, right? That's all that BioWare can do, is they can just put steps in. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it makes sense, but I'm just trying to say at the end of the day, that's the result, is they're just making it harder for people to accomplish the same goal. So these other people, these elites, if you want to even call them that, are racing to get there so that, you know, when that hardness, you know, takes effect, they'll be sitting there looking pretty with Battlemaster gear or, you know, good PvP gear, you know, and the people who are coming up, it'll take them harder or longer to get there.
There's a whole entire mentality that goes along with being the in-game community, and people build up and prepare for that time to race to the end. I know Azimuth, who's our chat moderator every week in the live chat room, he actually is in a top 25 World of Warcraft guild, and he takes off weeks at a time during expansions to level and get ready for raiding. So, not to knock any of that stuff, but those are the elite few, and BioWare and Blizzard both don't typically create the game or the current content for the elite few. They're creating it for the masses. So it's going to take more people to get to the end game before they start making overall changes to what's going to affect those end game players.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And like I said, I think that it makes sense. I mean, you have to market to the largest amount. And, you know, those are the people that are going to be, quote unquote, having fun for the longest time. But, it is a delicate balance, because the quote unquote elites or the guilds, you know, they're these different demographics that stay in the game. You know, the elites are going to stay in the game. And sometimes they're in a guild and sometimes they're not, right? But then you've got guilds that are of different levels. You might have elite guilds, but then you might also just have the social guilds. But those are going to have, you know, numbers that are going to stay. You know, it's really kind of hard or very rare, or getting more rare, to just see the casual players that come into the game and stay for, you know, months and years, that are either ungilded or float from guild to guild, that still are consistent players, right?
You'd be surprised. There's people that have no interest in joining guilds. There's people in WoW that their entire WoW existence is going to Goldshire and humping gnomes. It's all what you make of it. We all pay the same $15 a month. It's all about what you want out of the game.
Yeah, well, I didn't ever play WoW, so you have to explain the humping gnomes.
It's a role-playing
really
thing.
You don't need to explain it any further than that.
Can we get a diagram just so I can see what's going on here?
That's not an analogy. It's not a tuna fish sandwich.
All righty then. Any other news in the community?
All right, well, I got some news that Vertek alluded to at the beginning that I wasn't quite ready, because I just mentioned it before we came off the break. Okay. An interesting piece of news from Stephen Reed's AMA that he had a number of days ago, but they asked him a whole lot of questions. One of them had to do, though, with a popular or unpopular, as the case may be, topic. I know we've hit on this show a number of times, a sore spot with guilds that have to do with guild banks. So somebody had asked him the question, do you have any idea when we can expect to hear more details on guild banks / housing? And Mr. Reed responded with, guild banks pretty soon, but my definition of soon is probably different than yours. I'll say before E3 or PAX East. That seems fair. So PAX East is April, I think. So that's about as close as BioWare ever gets to giving you a deadline for anything. So within the next 3 months, they're looking at putting in guild banks, at least. He said, on the guild housing ship thing, I've had these conversations a few times with folk in person. The thing is, the basic idea seems simple, but the reality of doing it can be hugely complex. For example, and this is entirely me personally making stuff up, it's possible guild capital ships could be just open spaces for people to hang out in. Cool, but likely not enough for many people. So then you add on, say, the ability to customize the space. Then maybe you want those ships to move around, maybe put them in orbit over planets to fight with other guild capital ships. Whoa, did we just add a space combat game? You see how it easily gets bigger. So the short version, he says, is something like guild capital ships sounds super cool, and the development team likes the idea, but there's a big difference between likes the idea and is fully developed in-game. So...
Well, James Dolan told me himself that they're working on it, so I know they're working on guild capital ships.
I think they are, too. I think, like he said, you know, what that ship's going to do or what it's going to be with is probably still...
I think that they need to put it into some kind of PvP element, kind of like the like they had in Age of Conan in terms of having sieges, so you could build a keep and then, you know... another faction could try to siege.
Actually,
they could try to siege your keep. So imagine, if you would, there are certain PvP zones that you could only get to if you got on your guild ship and you know went there as a guild or whatever, and then you know you did PvP or whatever, and then you know if another ship in it, kind of like the whole Alderaan Warzone. The other team, you know, beats your ship in PvP, or you have boarding parties that go back and forward. Your ship takes X amount of damage and you lose, and then the result of losing is, you know, you have to pay so many mats or so much money to repair your ship so you can go do it again. But then, you know, if you win, then everyone gets, like, you know, champion bags and credits or something. I mean, there are different things that you could do with it that I don't think would really be developmentally a large amount of effort. It would just essentially be another PvP zone, in which case they take the static map of which could look like the inside, like, for example, like the interior of a Viking station or whatever, the space station, how that's fairly static. Just replicate that and then allow you to customize a couple of things and say, there goes your capital ship, right? So you build it once and you just repeat it. And then you just build these scenarios, just like Alderaan, in which case, you know, you're teamed up against this other one, and then you do, you know, boarding parties, in which case you go click on a thing, you go to a different ship. It's the same thing as transferring back and forth, trying to go to a flashpoint. You PvP, whoever gets rolled loses X percent of their ship, they lose X percent of money, and whoever wins, you know, wins stuff. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to say there are different things that they could do without having to go into too much developmental rigor, in my mind.
How neat would it be to have a PvP, like the space battle type of thing, right in the middle of it? Like, your transport from one ship to the other is like a, you know, even on rails still, like, you're in your ship and you attack their ship, you assault their ship, and you land and take on their defending team.
Exactly. And I guess all I'm trying to say is there are ways to do it without building a whole bunch of new stuff. Where you could just take the things that they have, the game mechanics, replicate them and do some simple skin mods to them, I guess. But then again, not being a developer, who am I? Anywho, anything else?
just so you know, Reed also added as a comment on another question that was similar as far as priorities. He said, guild banks and guild housing of some type, ships are most popular, as people know, are both on the list for future development. As always, it's a question of priorities and so on, but they're definitely discussed. I will say that guild banks are higher priority. Which
good.
Makes sense, and it seems like it's the easier of the two things to put in, certainly, too. I mean,
it's 2012. I've said it before, I'll say it again. In 2012, it is unacceptable for a game this good, with this much good stuff in it, with this talented of a team, to deliver to us a product that does not have a guild bank. It's unacceptable.
Well, my thing is, and the thing I have my fingers crossed for, is because it is such a, you know, basic component of games anymore these days, is that they're building it into a much bigger and much grander system that just, it happens to be such an integral part of that system that they can't pull it out and put it in, kind of like the character builders. They couldn't, you know, release a character builder online for you to play around and design how it's going to look before launch of the game because it was integrated with everything else. I'm hoping that's the case here and we're going to get, you know, a really nice little package for guilds instead of just the guild bank being put in and that's it.
I,
the,
yeah,
the functionality of guild management is all jacked up right now. I can't tell you how frustrated I am trying to change people's ranks and tab in between this window and closing that one. I mean, did anybody use it before it launched? Because yeah. I could have given them some feedback. Trust me.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I got to be honest. I mean, they. And I love BioWare, and I love all the guys there, but they dropped the ball. I'll say it. They dropped the ball on the raid, on the guilds rather, on the guilds in this game.
They were busy planning for the guild deployment on the website.
Yeah, which what is that? I haven't.
Fail.
I haven't,
needless.
And I'm not trying to beat them up.
There's some
I love
things
them,
about but, that would be handy, but I didn't even use the server they assigned me, for example. So really, that became meaningless to my guild. So.
Yeah, I mean, the two high profile guilds, and we didn't even get put on the same server. So we don't have an enemy, and we don't have any allies. So whatever. My point is I would have much rather seen them spend that money, that time, and that developmental rigor on building me a guild management system, because I don't think the fact that there are guilds that want to play this game snuck up on them. I don't think that was like a surprise. So,
well, the whole intention of the guild deployment, the pre-launch stuff, was to get communities built together and hopefully make them end up on the same server together. But in actuality, it didn't do that at all. And to your point, they could have taken those time, money, resources, and whatever. I think their web developers just are kind of bored because those aren't the same people in the grand scheme of things. But the website's great. I like the guild pages on there, but the whole deployment system was completely needless.
Yeah, I understand and I can appreciate what they were trying to do. And, you know, I've spoken with Blaine Christine. You know, I was at BioWare, you know, when they were telling us this. And, you know, the intention is to try to load balance the server with, you know, in their mind, you know, if they know that this guild's got 500 and that guild's got 500, then put them together. And, you know, let's say the server can hold 5,000 people. You know, they do it this way, and so that they can try to figure out roughly how many tunes they're going to get on one server. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, it was a smooth deployment. I would say it's one of the only successful MMO deployments I've ever seen. You know, the downside of that, obviously, is I don't think they took into account some of the guilds that have multiple guilds, like Old Timers Guild.
Yeah.
They're on Sith Meditation Sphere with us, and they're pretty good guys, but they have Old Timers Guild, which is three words, and then they have Old Timers, which is one word, guild. So that's really 1,000 people right there, right?
Yep.
So it's got the main and the alt guild. And then they got the Black Hand, which is like, you know, 500 people. So then, like, we've been talking in very public on the forums, you know, saying, you know, oh, we're going to go up against Old Republic Dads. Guess what? Different server. So we get there, and we had to find out over time who our quote-unquote enemy is going to be. So I'm not bashing them about that. I'm not going to beat them up. But what I will complain about, and I will be very vocal, and I will not apologize to BioWare, to Lucas, to anybody, to EA, is they dropped the ball, and they did not deliver an adequate nor acceptable guild management system. And in 2012, what they've delivered to us for guilds is unacceptable, and I just cannot wait for a guild management system that is worthy of BioWare, considering how amazingly good this game is in all other aspects. Yeah.
Right now, the guilds are basically a glorified, personalized chat channel.
Yep.
I mean, that's about all they do. So.
And there's no add member button. Come on! Really? I have to type G invite? What?
Yeah,
it should be like a
right click function.
Yeah, there's a lot of basics that are just missing, and you know, in time they're gonna get put in, and you know, the answer I always get back though is, well, WoW didn't have it at launch. All right, I get it, but that was 7 years ago. This is but I'm not gonna beat them up because I do love BioWare. I'm a fanboy. I love this game. I think it's the best game I've ever played. I'm next to. The only thing that's coming close to me is Mass Effect, and that's another BioWare game. So I am a big BioWare supporter, but I am very disappointed in this one thing. So I'll leave it at that. Any other closing comments about the news? All right. Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap the show up. Stop, Lena. Siren, thank you so much for joining us. Can you briefly reiterate where our listeners can reach you guys and reach the different shows and TV shows and podcasts and stuff that you guys do?
All the stuff I do.
All that crap, yes.
Yeah. You can find Roarcast, the Geek Culture Happy Hour, and coming soon, the Hot Taco Lounge, right there at rawrcast.com, rawrcast.com. And our guild, of course, is linked from Roarcast, but you can find it at boundguild.com. Thank you so much for having us, guys.
Thank you so much for coming out and chatting with us. And Siren, again, thank you. Do you have a Twitter or anything that you want to let people know about, or are you just kind of coasting under the radar?
No, Stomp puts it. I'm one of the minions, and one of the real reasons why she invited me on the podcast is so that I would say our server name properly, since she is difficulty saying it.
And what is that?
Well, she has almost every week. She
no wait. Maybe we should have her say it first, and then you come out and say it properly.
Yeah. So, what server are you on, Stompalina?
So, Stompalina, what server is it you're on again?
Cannabis Ordo.
Cannabis Ordo.
Which is actually Candorous Ordo. But she's
okay. So she's on the marijuana server, and the rest of you.
You know what? It's close. People can still find us.
So they're on the Mandalore server.
I don't have it to read in front of me, so I can't butcher it. But that's kind of a bit on our show, is I butcher the English language in every made-up word in World of Warcraft, and now the Old Republic, too, because I cannot put letters together very well.
Hey, you know what? If you got a gift, you need to run with it. So you just you keep on keeping on.
The other bit is my snorts, which obviously now you guys have heard a couple of times, and you didn't go, oh my God, what is that? But yeah, our listeners play drinking games to my snorts, so it adds value.
Well, I'm just going to add some Gamorrean sound effects in here later on, so it'll just fit with that very well. So
nice. All right, well, cool. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. If you want to get a hold of us, you can hit us at torsyndicate.com. You can also hit us on Twitter at torsyndicate. And if you want to email us, I believe it is ts02@torsyndicate.com. Thanks again. That's our show. Have a great evening.
Bye.
Night. Later, guys.
Wow.